Hallelujah. The Lord our God, strong and mighty. Mighty in battle. Mighty. Mighty in battle. Our God. Not a second-rate God. The Almighty God. Amen. Amen. Something about that song gets me going. That's on my one of my favorites. I got so many favorites, but that just stir up the fight in me. Amen. Amen. Sound the alarm. Amen. We are the army of the Lord. Amen. 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 And they didn't know the message that was going to come forth today, but God knew. And every once in a while, God gives you extra encouragement. Amen. So I'm going to do my best to stand here in the sniper's nest and snipe at the devil every chance I get. Amen. Amen. See, a sniper has to have a spotter. And the spotter will tell you where the enemy is, how many clicks the enemy is. And the sniper sometimes will stay in that nest for days, for hours, waiting to get a clean shot at the target. And our target this morning is the devil. Amen. He's our target because he has us in his sights. So it's time for the army of God to be armed, huh, and take some territory from that rascal. Walk with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Very familiar passage of scripture. In fact, the chapter is a very familiar chapter. It deals with David and Goliath. It deals with David and Goliath. So I'm sure we've read this, or we should have read this, and might have had quite a few lessons in Sunday school and things of that nature, dealing with David and Goliath. But I want to talk from a subject chosen, not frozen. Now, how are we going to make this work? God's going to make it work because I believe God gave me this thought. Chosen, not frozen. All right. So if you pray with me, I think we'll get to where God wants us to get to. And I don't believe it has to take us that long to get there. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I have the Amplified Version. I'll read verse number 2. I'm 1 and 2 to begin. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle and were assembled at Socah, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Socah and," help me with that, "Azekah in Ephesdamim. Saul and the men of Israel were encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines." Now, just a little backdrop, because a lot of us know the story about David and Goliath. We, you know, you all can come up and tell the story just as good as I can. But we want to look at some interesting details that may have been overlooked by some. According to the 10th chapter of Genesis, the Philistines are the descendants of Egypt. The Bible shows God's judgment upon Egypt. Also, the world and its systems are represented as Egypt according to typology. So God has always had an issue with the world. Bible lets us know, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." So the world is an enemy of God. We need to understand that. The world system is an enemy of God. So here these Philistines are setting themselves up in battle against the army of the children of Israel. Now it's interesting to note here in the beginning of this text where the Philistines are, where the enemy is. They are gathered to fight in a place that belongs to Judah. That's where they're gathered, in a place that belongs to Judah. We understand by the word of God that in the first chapter of the book of Judges, when the children of Israel asked the Lord who should go first to fight against the Canaanites, the Lord said, "Send Judah, because I have delivered them into their hand." We have to also remember that this word Judah, the root of this word, means to use the hand, to physically extend the hands in reverence, in worship, and in praise. It also means to confess and to give thanks. So here the enemy strategically sets up and getting ready to fight in a place where the praises are supposed to be coming forth. He sets it up. And oftentimes, we have to fight through. I wonder how many people had to fight through whatever you had to fight through this morning just to extend your hands and lift up a praise in this sanctuary. You can count on the enemy fighting you at a place of praise. The enemy will fight you to keep your mouth shut. He wants you to stay frozen. He wants you to stay frozen with your mind on your condition. He wants you to stay frozen with your mind and your heart on whatever's going on in your house, whatever's going on your job, whatever's going on in your relationship, whatever's going on in your body. He wants you to stay frozen. He don't want you to extend your hands. He doesn't want you to lift your hands and worship God in the midst of your circumstances. So he's not going to fight you on a day when everything is going well. But he's going to fight you on a day and in an area where you can get the most deliverance. Because God told children of Israel, he said, "Send Judah first, because I have already delivered the land into their hands." So we need to understand that sometimes it's when we praise God that God will allow us to walk into what he has already given us. But we cannot let the devil handcuff us and not even open up our mouth to give God praise when we should give God praise in the midst of any circumstance. God has called us. He has designed us. We were made to worship God. We were made to give him praise. So here, this enemy, the Philistines, they gathered in a place that belonged to Judah. Don't let the enemy steal your praise. Don't let circumstances steal your praise. We owe God praise because he has done so much for us. So we see here that this is the place that the enemy desired and chose to enter into the battle, the place that belongs to praise. This is exactly what the enemy does. He fights us especially when and where praise belongs in our life. He want to put a complaint instead of a praise. So we need to confess what God said about us. When the enemy wants to serve us a complaint, we need to confess that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So here the battle is being set. The army of the Philistines are here, and the army of Israel. Sometimes we have to fight through various types of opposition in order to give God real praise. So here's what we have to do. fight through whatever you got to fight through. Sometimes you might have to change your seat. Sometimes you might have to change your environment. But whatever you have to do to give God real praise, God said give him some real praise, because that's what he deserves. He don't want you frozen. If it's too cold on your row, if the spirit is not moving on your row, get out of that frozen environment, because you are not frozen, but you are chosen. You're chosen. So now in verse number 3-7 of the text in 1 Samuel, he gives us a description of Goliath and his supplies for battle. Don't have a whole lot of time to go through it, but you can read it at your leisure. Goliath was a giant. He was a champion of the Philistines. He was about 10 feet tall. And here he was. He was threatening it through verse number 8-11 of this text. We see that Goliath is threatening. He is threatening the army, and he's threatening the king. So all the threats of the enemy, he's standing there with his big and bad self, almost 10 feet tall. And what one of my company commanders would say, he'd say he was in full battle regalia. He had on all his armaments. He was a trained soldier from his youth up. And his full battle regalia, his war equipment was some mighty equipment. And he even had another soldier that would carry his shield for him. So he was a champion. And he stood out there for 40 days. And he defied the armies of God. He defied the army of Israel. He said, send me out somebody to fight. Oh, he was selling some wolf tickets. Yes, he was. He said, look, I'm just a man. Send me out somebody to fight. And if he wins, then we'll serve you. But if I win, then you're going to serve us. Because he thought that he was undefeated. He thought that the final victory was going to be his. That's just what the devil does. He sells big time wolf tickets and try to let us know that we'll never achieve anything, and we can't get over that. I can't help it. And we're doomed to failure. We're doomed to making the same mistake over and over again. But I come to declare unto you that the devil is a liar. He is already a defeated foe. And the reason why he's trying to sell so many wolf tickets, because he understands that he has a reserved seat in hell. He cannot repent. So he tries to con us. He tries to trick us and to make us think that we don't have any power. He tries to strike fear in our hearts. Just like the Philistine champion Goliath, he struck fear in the entire army of Israel. How can one man speak to an army of people and a king and strike fear in their hearts? So we have to understand something, that fear will freeze you in your position. Fear will freeze you. Fear will cause you not to want to do anything. You're scared. You're scared, and you're stiff. You ever heard somebody use the expression "scared stiff"? That means you can't move anywhere because you are so overwhelmed with fear. And that's what the enemy was trying to do here. That's what he was doing there, because all of Israel, the entire army, and the king were dismayed. They were afraid and they were scared of this one giant man, Goliath. So they were frozen. But I'm so glad that they were frozen. But here comes this little young boy, this little boy named of David. He was not frozen. The whole army was frozen. The king was frozen in fear. And here comes the youngest son of Jesse. His three older brothers, if you examine the text, his three older brothers were in the army. They were soldiers. And Jesse said, I want you to go down there and check out how your brothers are doing. So David said, all right, Dad. And he took them some stuff. If you please, he took them a care package. pocket and said, Dad, okay, I'm going to go. And so while David goes down to bring the care package, to his brother, and here comes this giant again doing his usual routine. And he comes and he starts woofing again. He starts talking about, okay, send me somebody. Send me somebody. And David, this little young boy, David, the youngest of Jesse's sons, said, wait a minute, what y'all scared of? Who is this man? Why are y'all frightened here? How come ain't nobody saying nothing? I could imagine David said, it's quiet up in here. Here is just one man, and y'all supposed to be soldiers, and y'all got the king, and y'all got an army, and y'all scared of this one man? So David said, wait a minute, can I ask a question? I know I'm young, but can I ask a question? What is going to be done to the man? He didn't say the group. He didn't say the squad, or he didn't say the army. He said, what's going to be done for the man that defeats this giant? And they said, well, I tell you what, the word on the street is, if somebody is bold enough and brave enough to beat this man, the king will make him his son-in-law. Ooh. David said, oh yeah, is that what's going to happen? So then David went to ask his brother, and his brother, I believe it was Eliab, said, why are you asking all these questions? Sometimes you got to look to the ones who are frozen. They're frozen. They don't want to do nothing. But here come one of the chosen ones asking a question, trying to survey what's going on. Beware of the frozen, especially if you're one of the chosen. I need you to help me to preach this message. Ask yourself a question. You ain't got to ask nobody to the left or to your right. Put your hand on yourself and say, are you frozen or are you chosen? And whatever your answer is, then you got something to do. You got to have a mindset that David had. He said, wait a minute, I can take this rascal because I've been in some battles before. He said he was talking. And so when David asked the question again, some of the frozen ones said, oh, well, let's take him to the king. So when they heard that David was asking questions about the reward for killing this giant, they brought him before the king. And the king said, David, now you can't fight against old Goliath because you ain't nothing but a kid. And this man is a warrior. He's been a warrior and trained in battle. He's trained in the arts of war. He got all kind of military service. And here you are, a lunch bringer. Here you are, a gopher with some cheese and some bread. And how in the world are you going to fight against this giant warrior? David said, well, king, let me tell you something. Your servant was keeping his daddy's sheep, and a lion and a bear came to my daddy's sheep, my natural daddy's sheep, and took one, and I went and I snatched it right out of the lion's mouth. And when the lion got an attitude with me, and then he didn't want the sheep, he wanted me. So when the lion came back to get me, God gave me the power to defeat the lion, and he did the same thing to the bear. So David said, this same God who delivered me out of the mouth of the lion and out of the mouth of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hands of this uncircumcised Philistine. I imagine the king started getting some courage because he was scared too. Oh God, sometimes leadership gets frozen and they scared, don't want to move. So I imagine this young man standing. He wasn't in awe of the natural king, but I believe he was still respectful of the king. The king's heart started getting glad. He said, well, since you volunteering, I can't draft nobody to fight against this giant, but since you volunteering, I guess I'm going to have to send you. But here's what I want you to do, David. I want you to put on my armor. Watch this here. The king wanted David to fight, but everybody in the nation knew what the king's armor looked like. Everybody knew what the king's armor and battle wear looked like. So I believe in my mind that the king was trying to build his rep. He was trying to build his rep. But David said, I can't use this stuff. First of all, it's too cumbersome. Listen, if you are chosen and not frozen, sometimes you got to go for broke with what you know. You can't go on somebody's reputation. You can't go on behalf of an organization. You can't go on behalf of a church per se, but you got to go and represent the Lord your God, the same God that delivered you out of trial and tribulation. God said in his word, he will not give his glory to another, so I can't use it. You ain't got to give me no pass. You ain't got to give me your armor, because I haven't proved it. But what I am going to use is the same thing that I used in my other battles. So here David said, King, I can't use this stuff. I cannot use it. So I got to go with what I know. So David got him a sack. Yes, he did. He got him a sack with five smooth stones. Glory. Hallelujah. So David, I believe he was skillful with his stones and his sling. Imagine the atmosphere, how the whole army, with all their training and all their experience, frozen in their tracks. Oh, God, help me preach this thing here. Listen, we are an army. We are an army of God with all of our training, with all of the preaching, with all of the teaching. We're still, for the most part, frozen in our tracks. Don't want to do nothing for God. We're frozen. We'll come and make an appearance. They were in the place where the battle was supposed to be taking place, but wasn't nobody going to step up to the front line. How long, God help me today, how long are you going to come in the place where we're supposed to be arming ourselves to go out and take some territory, but you say, I ain't going there. Are you going there? I ain't going there. You're frozen. You hear what I said? I said you're frozen. But God is about to raise up some Davids up in this house. Some young ones that ain't got no kind of experience. Some young ones that might or might not have an apostolic heritage. But some ones that you don't even know about. Some ones that have some real time with God. Some ones who saw God fight for them, some ones who God delivered. So here, this young boy, he comes now. He comes and faces this giant, walks past the army of Israel. I can imagine, just imagine if the army of Israel was this entire congregation. I can imagine that there were some haters, even in his own army. Glory. What's he gonna do? Look at him. He got enough sense to know that he's going up against a warrior. He ain't got shield the first. He ain't got sword the first. He ain't even carrying a Bible. That word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you read enough of the word, you ain't got to carry it around. It will carry you. It will propel you in the face of your enemies. So here this young boy with a sack and some rocks in it. Glory. Hallelujah. A sack and some stones. Here he comes. And here comes this giant. Here comes this Goliath. And he looks at this ruddy, puny little so-and-so. And he says, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks and staves, still selling wolf tickets? And he said, come on here. I'm going to make quick work of you. I'm paraphrasing, but read the text. He said, I'm going to make quick work of you. Come on here. And so David said, you coming at me with all your battle regalement, but I'm coming. I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whose army you are defying. So the battle was set, and Goliath starts making his approach. I like what David did. Glory, hallelujah. When Goliath started making his approach to assume the fighting position, David didn't look for cover. They taught us, glory, hallelujah, in Fort Jackson, South Carolina, Delta 7-2. We are the best. We have proven it by ourselves. That's what they drilled in my head in basic training. They taught us about cover and concealment. When you're engaging a natural enemy, you got to go for cover and concealment. You want to conceal yourself, and you can fire off a round or two in mass, center mass, at your enemy. But David didn't run for cover. When Goliath was approaching him, here's what David did. He ran toward that rascal. Glory. Hallelujah. It ain't time to run for cover. Glory. It's time to arm yourself with the same mind as our Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, and run. We ain't got no business running from the devil. Did you hear what I said? I said we ain't got no business backing up from the devil. We got to look that devil square on his eyeball and said, you're defying my God, because I heard the Bible said, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. So David said, I ain't coming to you with none of that foolishness, but I'm coming in the name of the Lord. So Goliath makes his approach, and David runs towards him. Glory. He was agile. Glory, hallelujah. He was running. Yes, sir. I need some Davids. I need some Davids that are fit to fight and think in war. Glory, hallelujah. David ran toward that rascal. He was coordinated. Glory, hallelujah, to run. I can just imagine David picking up steam and picking up velocity and momentum as he runs. Listen, you got to fight the devil everywhere he shows up. And when you get one victory, God's going to give you another. And you go from faith to faith. So David was running on his experience with God. And so he started running toward this rascal. He said, he ain't even a lion. I can take him. He ain't even a bear. Oh, I can imagine David said, I got this. Lord, you got me? Yeah, come on, let's get him. So David said, run towards this rascal, this 10-foot giant. While he's running, glory, look at the coordination and the agility. Thanks be unto God who teaches my hands to war. It was God that taught that boy how to fight, and it's God that will teach us how to fight. David runs toward this rascal, this 10-foot giant. While he's running, look at the coordination. He picks up a stone. I imagine he picked it up with one hand and had a sling in the other, and still, glory to God, kept his eye on the target. Glory. Some of us would have dropped the stone. Some of us would have dropped the sling and tripped over the sling, but he was running. Picked it up out of his sack, and he started swinging. He was getting his velocity together, and I could see the giant licking his chops. Oh, I got him. I got him. David, he didn't need all five. Glory, hallelujah. He had backup and didn't need backup. Lord, have mercy. But he took that one stone and plugged it. The Bible said it hit him in the forehead, and it did not bounce off. Glory, it sunk, glory to God, in his forehead. Look at the velocity. I believe, well, this is just me, I believe that while that stone was in motion, the Holy Ghost caught, intercepted that stone. in mid-flight and made it a trajectory round. That's just the way I think about it. It was a smooth stone. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, intercepted that stone and put some oomph behind it to send all you need is God through the power of the Holy Ghost to put some oomph in your life. Glory. Somebody, y'all help me preach. Say, God, I need some oomph from the Holy Ghost. But let me share with you, if you ain't got the Holy Ghost, you'll reach for the oomph and it's empty. Glory. Hallelujah. But I believe that the Spirit of God got behind the velocity of that stone, and how else could it sink into his forehead? If you hit me with a rock, it's gonna drop. Hallelujah. But God, I believe that God got behind that stone. He got behind that stone. Lord have mercy. And it sunk into Goliath's forehead. Now, most of the time, I heard the preacher say, most of the time, if you get hit like that, at that velocity, you fall back. Hey, what, something hit me. But that rascal fell face down to the ground. Look at God. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. You ain't gonna fall back. No, you ain't gonna fall back. You're gonna fall flat on your face. And when David slew that rascal, Goliath, he didn't have a sword. He ran up to him. He ran up to him and stood on that rascal, took his own sword, cut his head off. Glory to God. Cut his head off. And then all those frozen folk got unfrozen. All them frozen folk. All the man, I was going to be with you. No, you weren't with me because you was here before I got here. Man, I was going to do the same thing. No, you wasn't. You were frozen. Lord, are you sitting next to somebody that's frozen? God then gave you an assignment. God said you're more than a conqueror through him that love you, but you're frozen. I ain't going to do it. What they going to say? Listen, I don't care what they say. God said you're chosen, and when those of us who were chosen will walk in our choosing, we can aid in the deliverance of the frozen ones. I wonder if who in here think they're chosen? All right. Who in here think you're frozen? Tell the truth. All right. You ain't got to be frozen for long. Because if there's a chosen person in your section, once they do what God told them to do, and the frozen ones see the deliverance that God will wrought, that God will work in your life, you're going to encourage them. You're going to thaw them out. Glory. Hallelujah. It's time for some of us to get thawed out. Yeah, you've been in deep freeze. God called you. God saved you. God gifted you. And you're frozen. You're stuck on one point. But God said, I'm raising up some David in the midst of the congregation. I'm raising some, stand up, Irene. Stand up, David. I'm raising up some David. Stand up. There's a David here and a David there. Stand up. Stand up, Eric. There's a David. Stand up, Danatessa. You're a David. Stand up. God said, I'm ready. All I need is one David in your section. That's all I need is one David in your section. And when David comes through and he knows that he's fighting for God, and God is fighting for him, because in the text, David said, the battle is not mine, but it's the Lord's. So God will fight for you. Thank you. Sit on down, David.
but in your life, stand up. Glory. Hallelujah. Because God wants to use you. I can't get off of this. God wants to use you to deliver everybody in your circle of influence. You hear what I said? I said God wants to use you to deliver everybody in your circle of influence. And when David slew Goliath, the whole army got encouraged. The whole army chased those Philistines. Glory. Hallelujah. But I got to tell you something. Before I move to the next point, you have to understand that this place is called Ephes Damim. That word means boundary of bloody drops. That's what that word means. So there was some blood, glory to God, trying to put this together and draw it in with the communion, the boundary, the battle took place, and blood was shed in a boundary of bloody drops. That means some blood was going to be shed so that all of Israel could get their deliverance. What did God do for us? We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Our destiny was frozen. We were on our way to hell, and we couldn't do nothing about it. But thanks be unto God, we were frozen. We were dead in trespasses and sin, and we were on our way to hell for sure. But God sent a chosen one to a bloody place called Calvary. God sent a chosen one, and I'm talking about Jesus, the Christ. He was chosen. The Bible said he's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So God, in his grace, God, in his mercy, God, in his foreknowledge, saw all of us in our frozen condition, frozen in sin, frozen in iniquity, frozen in wickedness, and sent a chosen one, Jesus the Christ, to a bloody place. He sent him to Calvary. And see, Goliath is also a type of the devil. And God, what God did at that bloody place of Calvary, he shed innocent blood so the guilty might be set free. All of us guilty, but Jesus, the chosen one, in that bloody place called Calvary, in that bloody place, he shed his blood for all of our sins, and he defeated, you hear what I said? He defeated the enemy. So now, because of Jesus Christ and what he has done on the bloody place called Golgotha on Calvary, all of us can be delivered. Most of us have been delivered because he was chosen so we can be unfrozen. Glory. Hallelujah. I remember, glory, I'm wrapping it up. I'm trying anyway. I remember in Bed-Stuy, in Brooklyn, I don't know if they played this game out here, but in Brooklyn, when I was a kid, in Bed-Stuy, we had a game called freeze tag. Did they play that out here on the West Coast? Freeze tag. And here's how freeze tag operated. When the person who was it, glory to God, when the person was it, he would come. And if the person who was it caught you, you had to be frozen, and you couldn't move no more. You couldn't move no more. But somebody who hadn't been caught yet by the person who was it would have to run and come and get you and unfreeze you. So guess what? That's what God did. The devil was it. Yes, he was. He was it. He froze us all. He froze us out. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? Bible said we were strangers from the commonwealth of Israel. So we were froze out. We were shut out from the righteousness of God, because salvation is of the Jews. So the devil thought ain't no Gentiles going to be saved. He was it. The devil was walking around freezing us. He was freezing us at birth. He was freezing us, and we couldn't move. I can't help it. We couldn't do nothing but sin, because that's how we were born. But here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. Glory to God. Here comes Jesus. seeing all of us in our frozen condition. Jesus, no wonder, oh God, God's helping me here. No wonder he said, the serpent's going to bruise your heel, but you're going to crush his head. Here comes Jesus now, seeing us in our frozen condition. He comes by at the right time, in the fullness of time. God sent forth this son. God, help me today. And he unfroze us. Glory to God. Not only did he unfroze us, he filled us. Glory to God. With the gift of the Holy Ghost. So you don't never have to be frozen again. God said, I'm going to set you free. God said, I'm going to set you free. Oh God, just one touch. That's all I need. It's one touch from God. All I need is one touch from the chosen one, and that freely that falls out to my heart. Glory to God, that makes my heart open to receive the power of God. All I need is a touch from the chosen one. No wonder somebody said he touched me. Glory to God, he touched me. Oh, glory. I feel like shouting. He touched me. Glory. He touched me, and all the joy, glory. I was frozen, didn't know what love looked like, didn't know what love sounded like, couldn't describe love if he brought it to me. But one thing I know, that when he touched me, oh, the joy. Oh, the joy that flooded my soul. Something happened. I can't explain it. Something happened. And now I know he touched me. He unfroze me. He touched me and made me whole. He touched me. You need to encourage yourself. You need to look at yourself in the mirror. I cannot be frozen because I'm chosen. Chosen, not frozen. Then he's given us the power. Glory. The power. He's given us the power. Do you know, or do you believe the power that your shadow has? You ain't got to touch nobody, but your very shadow can cause somebody to be healed. You're under the shadow of the Almighty, and your shadow has power. But guess what? It takes the sun to cast the shadow. God's helping me. It takes the sun to cast a shadow. No shadow, you ain't got no sun. Oh, glory. You need a touch. One touch. One touch from the sun, and you'll cast a shadow. And if you believe it, your very shadow has the power to heal. Your very shadow has the power to deliver. Can move someone from frozen. You ain't got to be frozen no more. When you get to your frozen environments, and some of us have to move in and out of frozen environments, you tell them get a mop and get a bucket, because there's going to be some thawing out up in here. Glory. You got to have that kind of boldness. What you talking about? Get a mop and get a bucket, because some stuff is going to be thawed out up in here. Throw out. Wait. I got some more Bible in my head somewhere. It said in the last days, how the love of many shall wax cold. Throw out. Get the water on the floor. Get a mop. Get a bucket. While we got these mops, we're finna throw out some stuff. Yeah, y'all know what happened when the freezer. you know what happened when the freezer go out. Where did this water come from? Stuff is thrown out. Oh, we better use it quick. We better use it quick. We ain't got much time. You hear what I said? We ain't got much time. We get to throw out and get some stuff done for God. Get some stuff done. All right. I need to do communion, huh? Amen. 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 But we're chosen, not frozen. I didn't know how God was going to work it out, but God knew. I'm just trying to help you. I'm just trying to encourage you to get up and do what God has called you to do. Because if God has called you, he's already empowered you and authorized you to do it. He said, greater things than these shall you do. All right, let's get to doing. Amen. All right. God bless you.